This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the second chapter of Philippians, beginning with verse 5, where Paul exhorted them, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We picture in our minds at the Christmas time that lovely manger scene. It's depicted on so many of the cards that we receive. It's demonstrated in front of homes, and the manger, the mother Mary, the father Joseph, the baby Jesus lying there in the hay, wrapped in his swaddling clothes. And we're enthralled with the natural, rugged beauty of the scene. We see the shepherds as they come with excitement to find the child. But if we look carefully, we might see the shadow of the cross that falls across the manger. Because this baby that is lying there on that bed of hay is destined to die upon a cross. This is the purpose for which he came into the world, that he might bear man's sins and die on a cross for mankind, that they might know the forgiveness of God and God's love for them. When Jesus was just a few weeks old, his mother Mary and Joseph took him to the temple in Jerusalem. Mary was going to offer the sacrifices in the ritual of purification. They were bringing two turtle doves, which was the offering that was allowed by families that were poor. The wealthier families were to bring a lamb, but the poor families could bring turtle doves for this offering of purification. And as they came into the temple with their turtle doves, that she might go through the purification rites, there was an elderly man, a very godly man, a man who waited upon the Lord in prayer, and a man who was led by the Holy Spirit. And this man, whose name was Simeon, was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had the privilege of seeing the Messiah. And so he was led by the Spirit into the temple at the same hour that Mary and Joseph were coming. And seeing their little child, he came and took the child out of Mary's arms, and he lifted his head towards heaven and said, "Now, Lord, let your servant die in peace, for I have seen your salvation for Israel." And then he turned to Mary and he said, "This child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and a sword shall pierce through your own heart also. Prophesying really that this child is destined to die with a sword piercing his heart, and saying to Mary, when you see your son dying there, your heart will also be broken within you. Many of the prophecies concerning the Messiah spoke of his suffering, spoke of his death on the cross. In the psalm that we read this morning, we read of how that the people would laugh him to scorn. It described the physical conditions that take place when a person is crucified. The dry mouth syndrome. My tongue, he said, sticks to my jaws. The bones slipping out of joint, for when a person is hanging on a cross over a period of time, the muscles give way and the bones begin to slip out of joint with excruciating pain. And he said, my body is out of joint. My feet and my hands being pierced, of course, as they are nailed to that rugged cross. And then the dividing of his clothes, for it was customary that the soldiers who did the executions could divide the clothes among themselves. And so they divided the clothes among themselves, but for my robe they did cast lots. The prophet Isaiah, as he was foretelling the coming of the Messiah, said, he will give his back to the smiters, his cheeks to those who pluck out the hair, and he will not hide his face from the shame and the spitting. Again, Isaiah prophesied that his face would be so marred that you couldn't recognize him as a human being. And that when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. But he tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. He declares that all of us, like sheep, had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, but God laid on him the iniquities of us all, and that he would be smitten for the transgression of the people. And there in Isaiah, he declares that his soul would be made an offering for sin. When John saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so his life was made an offering for sin. And by the knowledge of him, Isaiah said, many would be justified. Daniel, the prophet, spoke of the very day that the Messiah would be presented to the nation. But then he declared concerning the Messiah that he would be cut off and not receive the kingdom. In the psalm that tells of the day of the triumphant entry of the Messiah, it is interesting that in the preceding verse, it speaks of how that he would be rejected by the religious leaders, the stone that was set up not by the builders. But then just following the declaration, how the people would be saying, Hosanna, blessed is the King, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The very next verse says, bind the sacrifice to the altar. And so the prophecies that this baby lying there in the manger is destined to die on a cross. He was born to give his life as a ransom for sinners. When Peter was talking to the people about the crucifixion of Jesus, he said, "And you, according to the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, with your wicked hands have crucified and slain." God's determined counsel, God's foreknowledge. He sent his Son into the world to die for the sins of man. And thus, this little baby, with all of the beauty of the Christmas story and all of the pathos that's involved with it, yet there is the shadow of the cross. Because before he is 35 years old, he will have suffered death on a cross. Many times Jesus predicted his own death by crucifixion to the disciples. In Caesarea Philippi, when they very first recognized and acknowledged that he was the Messiah, we read in Matthew that he began at that time to tell them how he would be betrayed into the hands of men, and he would be slain, but he would rise again the third day. In Matthew 20, as they were on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus said to them, "When we get to Jerusalem, I will be betrayed to the chief priest and the scribes, who will condemn me to death, and they will turn me over to the Gentiles, who will mock me and scourge me, and they will crucify me, but on the third day I will rise again, for I have come to give my life as a ransom for many." That's why I've come. When he was facing the cross, he prayed, "Father, save me from this hour. And yet, it is for this hour that I have come. Father, glorify thy name." And so Jesus came as a little baby, born in a manger, in order that he might grow up and take the sins of the world upon himself and die for us. In Philippians here, Paul tells us of this emptying of Jesus. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That's as high as you can get. That's the highest. There in heaven, in the form of God, equal with God, adored and worshiped by the angels. And yet we read, "He took on the form of a servant and was fashioned like a man." And so we see him there in the manger, fashioned like a man. The little baby lying there was God manifested in the flesh. But we are told that he then humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's the lowest you could ever get. And so he came from the highest to the lowest, in order to redeem you from your sin. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. And though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might know the riches of God. Wonder of wonders, he's come in the form of a helpless baby. No ordinary baby, to be sure. His mother was a very deeply spiritual young girl. blessed of all, above all women. For the angel Gabriel came to her and declared that God had chosen her to be the human instrument of bringing his son into the world. When she inquired of the angel concerning how this could take place, inasmuch as she was a virgin, the angel declared unto her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, the power of the highest would overshadow her, so that that Holy One that would be born of her would be known as the Son of the Highest. His mother, the Virgin Mary, but his father was God. Mary was a virgin who had conceived from God the holy seed from which the Son of God would be born. It fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, where God said, "I will give to you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel," which by interpretation is God with us. But before this little baby ever came to earth, he was destined to die on the cross. And that was the purpose for which he came. This is why he became man, we are told. He became a little lower than the angels that he might suffer death. And that little baby lying there so peacefully in the manger will one day be dying on a cross amidst the jeers of the mocking crowd. But as the scripture said, Christ died for our sins. In the beginning, God warned man that if he rebelled against God's authority, that he would surely die. God created man for the purpose of fellowship, that man might know the joy, the blessings, the richness of living in a relationship with God, a living relationship, worshiping God and receiving God's love and experiencing God's presence in his life, and that exceeding joy and blessing from just living in fellowship with God. But in spite of the warning, man did rebel against God's orders. And when he did, that fellowship with God was broken and man died. Sin entered the world, and death by sin. Man no longer could experience fellowship with God, and man suffered greatly because of that loss of fellowship. But God also suffered. God loved man, and God desired fellowship with man. And God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, who came in the form of a man. But he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, in order that he might pay the debt for man's sin, in order that he might redeem man from sin and thus restore fellowship with God. The Son of God was on a divine mission. God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness through him. I owed a debt that I could not pay. I could not redeem myself from sin. All of my goodness or righteousness could in no wise redeem my soul from sin. I couldn't pay the debt I owed. He came to pay my debt. He didn't owe any debt, but he paid for my debt, and he redeemed me from my sin. And we are told here that because he was obedient even unto the death of the cross, therefore God has also highly exalted him. He's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is a prophecy. And as all of the prophecies have come true, you can be certain this will come true. One day, sooner or later, your knee will bow and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You can be certain of that. And though you may rebel now and say, I will not bow my knee, one day you will. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. In the psalm that we read this morning, it spoke of his death on the cross, and the psalmist declared, all of the families of the nations shall worship before him, and all of those who have gone down to the dust shall bow before him. Even those who are dead will bow one day before him. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 45 and said, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Every knee includes mine and yours. Every tongue includes mine and yours. Sooner or later, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Lord. Now, to do it now means the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with the Father. Paul said, for if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. To make that confession today, to make that submission, bow your knee and submit, declare Jesus Christ is Lord and submit your life to his lordship, will mean salvation for you, eternal life with the Father in glory. If you wait until that day that you are forced to bow your knee and to make that confession, then it will not mean salvation. It will only be an acknowledgement of the righteous judgment of God in banishing you from his presence forever. But one day, sooner or later, you're going to make that confession. Jesus is the Messiah. He is Lord. How much better to do it sooner than later. Going back to the manger scene, The night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very frightened. But the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, who is the Messiah, who is the Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord." Good tidings of great joy to all people. There is born this day the Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue will one day confess Jesus is the Messiah. And right after the angel made that pronouncement, notice, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The shepherds that night bowed their knee in excitement, acknowledging the message of the angels. Today, you can bow your knee and make that confession: Jesus Christ is Lord. To do so will then fulfill the purpose of his coming, because he came to wash and cleanse you of your sins. He came to bring you into fellowship with God. And your bowing your knee and your confessing brings glory unto God. Glory to God in the highest. As the knee is bowed and as our tongues confess, Jesus is Lord. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you that he gave his life, that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we thank you, Father, for his exalted position this day. And Lord, we gladly bow our knee and confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord, our Savior. Help, Lord, those today who have not yet made that confession. Help them, Lord, not to wait until that day when they are forced to make it, and at that time will have no saving value. But may they make that confession now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? What an appropriate time it is, as the world is ready again to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. What an appropriate time for you to bow your knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to do it sooner or later. Much wiser to do it sooner than later. And there's no better time than today. I encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Just bow your knee and confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I surrender and submit to him. I will no longer rebel against him, but I will follow him. as my Lord. I can guarantee if you do that, you'll have the merriest Christmas that you ever had in your life. Merrier than you ever dreamed possible. Because that's what it's all about. The Word was made flesh. He dwelt among us. And he became a man for the suffering of death, that he might redeem those who were dead in sin and in their trespasses. What a glorious time to find Jesus as Lord and Savior.